Well, today we have a special guest, and you're going to enjoy the story and the ministry of Avery Curry. So Avery, join me up here. Would you do that? Would you welcome Avery Curry? In 1994, Avery played basketball for FSU. That was before Coach Stan was on the job. But anyhow, he played 4 years and then went off to Europe and played basketball over there. And, well, I'm not going to tell his story. It's a beautiful story of what God has done in his life and what God is allowing him to do right now. And he's been a good friend of mine. He's helped me out in places when I needed help, and he rescued me. And you as a church have been able to help him in his ministry with his homes that he has. And I'm going to let him tell the story. Welcome Avery Curry again. That's you, Avery.
Good morning. I want to thank the pastor for inviting me to be here and coming out to speak a little bit with you guys. I won't be up here long because I'm actually terrified. So, but he asked me to come, so I'm here. So just to give you a little background, Avery Curry, I'm from Tallahassee, born and raised here. I grew up in Joe Lewis Housing Projects. Anybody know Joe Lewis? A little bit? Okay. So Joe Lewis Housing Projects, it's in Tallahassee, Florida, north side of town. Just to take you there for a little bit, it was a tough place to grow up. A lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of lack of hope, lack of dreams. But it was also a place of love. So it was a place that, you know, even though it was hard growing up, you still had a lot of love there, a lot of people that loved the community. Like I said, it was one of those places that you really, really have to be in tune to make sure you're around your surroundings and everything is right. But it was also a place that probably 12 or 13, I just didn't feel like I belonged there. And I had no idea why I felt like that, right? I grew up there. I knew everybody in that place. I knew everything about it, the good and the bad. I was part of both. So, just being honest. So, but I didn't feel like I belonged there, and I didn't know why. So one day I asked a PE teacher of mine. I said, "Yeah, I thought he was a good guy. He was cool. Drove a nice car. So I thought I could talk to him." So I asked him. I said, "Well, I just don't feel like I belong here, and I don't know why." So he said, "Well, let me give you a little insight about this." He said, "You are, just from me looking at you for 2 years, you are an extraordinarily average young man." So I was happy and confused all at the same time. I knew what extraordinary meant, and I'm like, yes. Then I knew what average meant, and I was like, okay, average is average. So I was confused, and I was a little happy because I had something I can say that made me feel that way. So he asked me, he said, "How many fights have you had in your neighborhood this year?" I said, "Why you ask me that?" He's like, I just want to know. So I said, "I had three fights with the same guy." So he said, "Okay, did you win any of the fights?" I said, "Not a chance. I didn't come close to winning any of the fights." So he said, "Well, why did you fight?" I said, I fought the same guy 3 times because he was a bully, and he bullied me and 2 of my friends that were smaller than me, right?" So he said, "That's what makes you extraordinary. You can go and fight for somebody, not only for yourself, but others, and you know there's a good chance you were going to lose." So I'm looking, I said, "If that's extraordinary, I don't really understand that I want to be that," right? But then he also said, "Now, you lost all 3 of the fights, so you're a pretty average fighter as well. So in saying that, I did kind of understand a little bit where he was coming from. But what he didn't know and didn't understand, because he really didn't listen to what I was trying to say, is I did win. I didn't win the fights, but we never got bullied again, right? So I won something that you shouldn't really have to fight for. I won respect, right? And I don't think you should have to fight for that, but if you have to fight for something, you should fight for respect, right? So with him saying that, I did have an understanding a little bit of where I was going and what I was doing, okay? So now fast forward to high school. I moved from another side of town, from Joe Lewis Housing Projects, and this is a step up for us. We moved to Sunshine Trailer Park on the south side of town. So we had a step up, right? So I thought. So now I'm going to high school, and high school is kind of a frightening place, especially when you come from one side of town where everybody likes you. You go on another side of town where everybody hates you, and they don't know why they hate you. But they just hate you because you come from there. So now I'm there, and I start playing basketball. I try for the team, JV team. We get to the first day before the game, and the coach says, you and my son have to play one-on-one, and whoever wins will start. But you guys will both play pretty much equal minutes. So for me, I'm like, okay, good. Now, not bragging, but I did win, okay? So I won the game. First quarter comes, I don't play. Second quarter comes, I don't play. Third quarter comes, I play 5 minutes. Fourth quarter comes, I don't play. So, of course, I'm just like, okay, am I that average? Am I that bad? Or something that I did? So I'm driving home with my mom, and she can understand that I'm a little upset. So she's just trying to give me some words of wisdom, and she's kind of lying a little bit to me. Oh, you're going to be all right. You're going to be fine. You're good, this and that. So she said, what's really bothering you? I said, Mom, that's just, he told me all of this, and it just wasn't fair. So she immediately pulled a call for me. She said, listen, fair is something you may never get in this life. You just got to live with it. Fair is something you may never get in this life, but fair is something you will always be in this life. So she told me no matter what happens, fair is something that I should always be, right? So I took that, didn't make me feel any better because I still wasn't playing. Didn't make me feel any better. So I took that and I started playing freshman basketball. Again, I felt like I failed. I felt like I should have been playing this JV basketball. Then I met somebody, a guy named Eli Bryant, who's like my father. Taught me a lot of things about life and not about basketball. So now, with somebody that did that to me, the coach, he said this, and whatever his reason was, I found something even better playing freshman basketball. I found something even better than basketball. I found somebody that's going to tell me some life lessons. And so I did what everybody should do when you have some trials and tribulations. You should pray and you should start working. So I prayed, my mama prayed, and I just started working. I started playing. I started working. The next year, the coach came. Of course, his son was playing varsity. And he said, okay, you ready to try out? And, of course, I've been working, and I feel pretty good. I don't feel average again, but probably still average, but I don't feel like that. So I said, well, coach, you know what? I don't think it's fair that I play for you. I think I want to play varsity basketball. So he looked at me and said, oh, that may be tough. My son is playing. I've seen you play. I'm looking at you, and you look pretty average. Again, I accepted that, and I started playing varsity basketball. Well, this turned out pretty good because throughout my works and listening to my dad now, Eli, Everything I did, I played varsity basketball. I ended up going to the school of my dream, which is Florida State. I did come from nothing, but so all of that said, I did make that, and I made it being a pretty average guy, right? So now the coach is looking at me, and he's saying, where did this come from? I said, well, coach, the good thing about when you're not fair with people and when people take that as motivation and people take that as not a stepping stone is you come back stronger. You come back motivated. You come back better, right? And it takes not only me, but it takes other people to make us stronger, right? It takes everybody to make us stronger. So now, out of high school, I made my dream school. Now I'm playing basketball. I'm playing overseas. I come back, and I meet a lady from my old neighborhood, Jo Lewis, and she said, Avery, I would like you to come and talk to some kids in the detention center. Again, my question is, why me? I haven't did anything, you know, special. Why me? So she looked at me. She said, I've seen you come from a lot of difficult situations. I've seen a lot of things happen to you, good and bad. I also know that you're a pretty average guy, and I have some special kids that need to hear your story because they're not average. I said, okay, well, I'll go in and I'll talk to them, knowing I don't have anything to say but what I've been through. So we talk, and I'm talking to the kids, and one asked me a question that totally caught me off guard. He said, how can you be good when nobody loves you or care what you think? How can you be good? So I'm listening, and I didn't really have a clear-cut answer for him because he caught me off guard. I said, it's an inside job. It starts within you. Everything that in your life starts with you. So if you think of this as an inside job, if you can correct what's going on inside, if you can motivate yourself inside, then you can start getting better. But now, that stuck with me for a long time. So I'm thinking about that. So I asked the kid, I said, well, where are you from? Another shocking example. He said, I'm from nowhere. I'm like, everybody's from somewhere. You got to be from somewhere. He said, well, my last placement was in Lake City Boys Center. So I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's where I'm from, but I've been here, I've been there, I've been everywhere, but that's my last placement. So now I'm thinking, like, what can I do? How can I help? How can I be of assistance? What can I do? So I went home, and this didn't go well at first, but it's okay now. So I went home, and I told my wife, I said, well, I think this is my last year playing overseas basketball. So the first thing she said, well, okay, you know, we still got rent. I said, well, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be okay. So my wife and I started a boys' home, and I told her I want to have a boys' home that's a home. I don't want to have a center. I don't want to have a facility. I don't want to have anything. I want to have a home, right? So we started our home, limited resources, but we started our home with love, discipline, expectations, more love, and forgiveness. So that was the basis of our home, right? So we started that, and it started going good, and I think we're 4 years in. We're doing pretty well. We got some kids doing okay, the boys, and it's a home all for boys. About 4 years in, I get a phone call, and it was a lady on the phone, and she said she's the homeowners association, and they don't want the house in the neighborhood anymore. So I said, okay, well, of course, I didn't know why. Then I get another call. It's a man on the phone, and he's in the other neighborhood. We have two homes. He said, I don't want the boys' home in our neighborhood anymore because I have a home that houses Florida State students and is bad for business living across the street from a foster home. Again, I didn't understand. So that week went by. Nothing happened. We didn't move. So they kept on. We had newspaper articles on the kids and how they were doing this and doing that. All untrue, right? So now it's 3 weeks in and we're just getting things. It's just one bad phone call after another. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my wife, and again, it takes me back to that place where I started from. Like, maybe this is not a job for an average guy. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I just need to concentrate on things that I know. And to be honest, basketball and leading basketball players was the only thing that I really knew. So I said, maybe I just not for me. An average guy maybe can't do this. So I'm here and I'm trying to figure out, well, what do we do with the kids? How do I tell the kids? How do I do this? And how do I tell them that it's not anything other than what they did? It's just outside people that don't understand what we do, okay? So now we get all the way there, and the tipping point, the Homeowners Association wanted to have a big meeting in a church, which I thought was good and safe. Church is a pretty safe place. So we're having a meeting. We have about 40, 50 people on this side, all homeowners and people. And so we have maybe 5 people on this side, me, my wife, a couple kids, 5 people. So they get up and they start talking about the kids terrorizing the neighborhood, the kids doing this. So I'm like, well, that can't be the same kids we're talking about. I know these kids. It can't be, right? So I bring one kid down, and he says his name and what he likes. I bring another kid down, says his name, what he likes. To me, I'm like, okay, let's make a name, put a name to the face, and they can understand that these are not foster kids. These are not delinquents. These are regular kids. These are absolutely regular kids that have regular kid problems. They have girlfriends that don't like them. They have some issues with hygiene and all kind of things that regular boys go through. So I'm trying to make them understand these are just kids. Well, that didn't work. We still got phone calls and things like that. So I'm sitting home, and now I'm at Home Depot. I'm at Lowe's, and I'm thinking, like, okay, so where do I go from here? Obviously, I'm not the guy for the job. I get a phone call, and I'm at kind of my lowest point with this. I get a phone call from a lady, and at 9 o'clock, I explain this lady. So I guess I'm not going to explain so much because everybody knew who I was talking about, all right? But I get a phone call from the lady, very upbeat. Mind you, I'm just all the way in the dump, very upbeat. She's not really loud, but super excited. And she said, you're doing a great job. If you would let me help you, I can help you make your organization better than it is, right? Mind you, I don't know this lady at all. I had never talked to her in my life, nothing. So I went home and I told my wife, I said, well, I got a phone call that was pretty good. Now I'm back energetic. Now I'm back like, hey, maybe, just maybe, an average guy like myself can team up with some above average people and we can get the job done, right? So maybe that can happen. So now I get the call and I start talking to the young lady. I meet her for the first time and it was absolutely not what I thought. She came in, she was very, and it just took off. She came and interjected herself, her husband, her church, her past, everybody got involved. And now I can say from that point on, we absolutely found 2 houses that were bigger, better neighborhood, better guys, better services. So everything went from here to here. Right? So with that said, a lot of things that's going on now in our town, in our world, it stems from the same thing, right? So that lady found in herself, and she just started thinking, this is an inside job. So what can I do to help you, Everything starts with, what can I do to help you, right? So now, she interjected love for us, respect. Everything happened. Everything's going right. So now, from that point on, we had kids graduate high school, right? Because it's a statistic that 1 out of 5 kids in foster care don't graduate, right? So 1 out of 5 kids graduate in foster care. That's not a good number, right? So we have kids graduate high school. We had kids go to college, right? We have kids get scholarships, okay? So now, if we don't remember anything from this, because this is, again, just my story and what I'm doing from an average guy, right? But if you remember anything from this, if you start with yourself, this being an inside job, whatever's going on, whatever you're trying to do, if you start with, it's an inside job, you start with yourself, that's the beginning of change, right? That's the beginning of change. And now, just like this lady and all of our guys, once you do that, and the next person that's next to you should have the same, that same passion, same motivation, your same drive that you do. And if they don't, then they shouldn't be next to you, okay? If we get all the people that's doing that, Tallahassee and the world will be a better place, right? Okay. So now, in closing, I want to bring a couple guys, and I normally don't do this, but I wanted them to understand and look and see, because I've told a few of them, like, yeah, this is terrifying for me. But as a man, that's okay. It's okay to be scared of some things, right? It's okay. And as a man, it's okay. If you're going to be a real man, it's okay to be loved, show love, right? So all these things are okay. So now that I got this off me and they've seen me come up and talk, and I'm sure I'll never hear the end of it, I want to bring a couple of guys up here just so people can understand what we're doing, what we want to do, and what we want to do going forward. My two guys, come in for a minute, please. My first guy, I'll let them introduce themselves, because like me, they have to learn how to get over some of their fears and talk and do some things. Go ahead, my man.
My name is Jamal Black. I'm 15. I go to Rickards High School, and when I graduate, I want to play football.
My name's Clarence Cordell. I'm 13. I go to NIMS Middle School. I like anime and soccer, and when I graduate, I hope to become a neurosurgeon.
So, in that little clan, you have a football player and a, what kind of surgeon you want to be? Okay, a neurosurgeon. So, good luck, guys. Good luck. So, I want to thank everybody for letting us come in, letting us talk to you guys. My last thing I want to say is, even though we do a great job, and I think we do a great job with our guys, with our home, the thing I would love to see going forward is every guy that we have being a traditional home, being a foster family, be with somebody that's just there for just them all the time, or them and his brother. That's what I would like to see. Even though we do a great job, and I think we try to show as much love, but the next step for me is to have every kid that we associate in a foster home with a foster family doing some things like that, right? So that's what I would love to see, and that's what I want to see. Thank you.
Okay. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Avery, for what you're doing. Amen. Just hang on. Just be seated just for a minute. There are about 400,000, 450,000 kids that need a foster home in America. I want that to settle in on you right now. 400 to 450,000 children that need a foster home right now in America. And Avery saw the need and instead decided to step up to the plate. Aren't you glad? Amen. We have one family in our church that are foster parents right now, and Tiffany's not here, but Daniel, would you stand up, please? That's they just doing a great job. If anybody has any questions about foster care or what the process is, you can see Daniel and Tiffany. They'd be glad to help you. It's an amazing thing when you partner with people who stretch beyond where you are. You grow, you learn, and your quotient for love expands. I want us to pray for Avery right now. Would you do that? Stretch your hands toward this place right here. This average person that God took hold of. Lord, I thank you for Avery. I thank you for the Inspire group. And I just ask you, Lord God, to bless him. Bless his wife. Gird them up. Build hedges of protection about them. Continue to bring encouragement to them in a supernatural way, Lord. I pray, God, that you will bless every child that walks through their homes, that you and your covering, your blessing, your anointing would be there upon them, that you'll let them ignite the dreams, Lord, in their hearts and their lives. And thank you, Lord, that you wouldn't let Avery quit. Thank you, Lord, that you send somebody along the way to bless, to encourage. We love you, Lord, and thank you for Avery right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Avery. Amen. Stand with me, would you? It's been a beautiful thing to partner with Avery, and we send him a lot of food from our food pantry and stuff and a few other things. We have several people that go help tutor and do some other things, teach kids to cook and all that kind of stuff. And if you got time, if you got, just email me or Avery, and we'll make sure you do that. Here's another need, financial needs. If you could somehow give a little gift for Avery's boys, we'll call it that, in the offering box as you leave, you can make a difference in somebody's life today in a powerful way. Can we thank God that he is a father? He's a father. He's a father. He's a faithful father. Would you thank God right now for his glorious work? Would you thank him for his glorious work? Lord, we just bless you and praise you and thank you, Lord, right now for your good work among us, your good work in this city, Lord. We worship you right now, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We got a lot of ugly in our world right now, and you can make a big difference in somebody's life by doing kindness, by doing love, by sharing good things. You know, we need to learn again the habit of burying the nasty. You don't have to repeat the ugly. Share the good. They call it good news for a reason. Aren't you glad you're saved? If you're not saved today, you ought to be saved. There's nothing like putting your heart, your life in Jesus' hands. Because he knows how to take care of every step. And when you mess up, he's there to help you up. And all of us know what that is. Aren't you glad you've been helped by Jesus? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for your soldiers that are at work. They don't make the headlines, but they're in your book. And your divine encouragement and your grace, Lord, carries them through to transform hearts and lives. Help us, oh God, to be the people of your Spirit, to know what it is to love, and to do it faithfully and boldly. Help us, Lord, to be your servants in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another. Thank you for being at Freedom today.